And welcome to the Connecticut Crossroads Project. This is Chris Fisher, and I'm joined with Alex Larson and Sarah Carr. The Connecticut Crossroads Project was started in 2015 with the mission to preserve community history through casual conversation. We've attempted to accomplish this goal by chatting with anyone and everyone who is willing to talk to us, because we believe that all of us help to shape and create history every day. In 2020, the board of the organization set out to award one individual every year whose gifts and efforts have affected many communities. These individuals are truly citizens of Connecticut. Sarah Carr, we've chosen you to be our 2021 recipient of our Judy Burroughs Award due to your efforts in advocating for social justice and history in Western Connecticut. And as part of this, we are donating $100 in your name to an organization. So if you just talk about that organization a little bit.
Sure. So I chose Pride in the Hills, which is a nonprofit LGBTQ plus group. And they bring funding to the area, to a lot of the schools, provide books and different programs just to, you know, provide inclusion to the kids who need it.
I love it. That's really great.
Awesome.
So let's talk about you, Sarah. So where do you live?
I live in Litchfield. And my dad actually grew up two doors down from me. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So my kids are fourth generation Litchfield kids.
Was that intentional? Did you want to come home, be home, whatever?
Yes. Yes. You know, I always felt very at home and very welcomed in Litchfield. And as an adult now, I realize that part of that is that, you know, I am a white, cisgender, straight woman, and it feels welcoming to me. But I know that's not the case for everybody. And so I'm trying to make it a more inclusive place for people who don't feel as welcome.
If you don't mind me asking, I mean, was there a certain point that you led you to this? Was there, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for those of us who live within these bubbles that we live in to realize our own privilege. So,
Our oldest child is part of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, she didn't experience a lot of hatred growing up or, you know, blatant bigotry, but she did feel kind of ignored when she came out, and that's almost worse. And so as a parent, that's hard to watch. And we, you know, then when COVID hit, it kind of everyone kind of took a look at their lives and the lives around them. And, you know, I guess it was before COVID that we painted the first crosswalk. A fellow mom asked me, do you want to paint a rainbow crosswalk in Litchfield? Would you help me? And I said, yes, 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 yes. So we had a lot of support from the town. They were really easy to work with. We did that. And then the pushback came after the paint was on the ground. And so, you know, we weren't really sure how to handle it. And, you know, you get super defensive and want to call out every keyboard warrior there is. And, you know, people are really brave on Facebook and
too
say
brave.
Really arrogant, yeah. Or, you know, arrogant and ignorant things. And I said, you know, I'm never going to change these people's mind. Every time someone does something hateful, let's just create something new. So that's kind of how we have fought it, by creating. So we ended up doing another crosswalk, and we created a Facebook group, and we created lawn signs, and then we created more lawn signs, and we created a teen group, and we created a scarecrow for the historical society's scarecrows. So I'm actually pretty thankful to all of the people who kind of opposed the things we were doing, because it's just given us more fuel to go out and do more.
Is there a point in time when you were like, wow, I've done something like good? Like, this is, I mean, obviously I think you've done something good, so don't think it that way, but where you've seen like real impact? Had a realization? I don't know.
The Historical Society put one of our signs in a COVID display that they did. So that was pretty cool to be featured in the Historical Society in Litchfield, which is such a historical place.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
So they put a Litchfield Pride sign in there. And so that was neat. And then, you know, mostly the most important thing is when parents come up to us and said, oh my gosh, my child saw your signs on the way home and counted how many they saw. And, you know, it meant so much to them just to get, you know, talking to a lot of people who grew up in Litchfield who are my age and who are part of the community. They just said that when they were trying to figure out if they were safe even to come out to their family, you know, they just looked for signs everywhere. So we're like, we can do signs. We can give you literal signs.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and they get stolen. And then, you know, we had one get stolen on a little side road and then the whole neighborhood bought one. So it's been just really cool to see just how, you know, these people try to kind of fight us and it ends up backfiring on them and, you know, creating more of a wave of just love and acceptance. So it's pretty cool.
So in a way you've created some unity in a community that maybe you found some sort of communication tool. I don't know where I was going with that.
It's been cool to see too how many people are supportive and people that, you know, you wouldn't know if they were supportive, but now they have a lawn sign. We have St. Michael's Church has a lawn sign. St. Paul's Church has a lawn sign. The Lord's Shrine has a lawn sign. You know, these places that people maybe wouldn't feel would be affirming are showing that they are, which is special.
Were you shocked by that, just in general, by the feedback?
Definitely Lord's Shrine, just being a Catholic, you know, and they've actually had three signs that have all been stolen. And they had a sign, like the director, the priest put a sign on the sign, like, I want this here, because they don't know if it's, you know, members of the Catholic Church that are stealing it because they don't think it should be up or, you know, they don't know. So,
yeah.
But just keep trying.
I mean, I think that is such a remarkable, I think it's excellent. So you're a fourth generation Litchfield person. So what do you love about Litchfield? Tell me about it.
I love the kind of aesthetic appeal of Litchfield. It's just a beautiful place with a lot of rich history. And, you know, you can feel the history when you're just walking, you know, in the middle of town. I just felt, you know, I personally felt a really strong community growing up. I had a lot of great friends, you know, a lot of my grandparents were very active in the town. So it was one of those things where, you know, you couldn't really get away with a whole lot. because somebody knew your grandparents or your parents or, you know, which, you know, when I was starting a family sounded pretty good. I had a good experience in the public school system in Litchfield. So just, you know, that classic small town feel.
Do you feel like your kids are sort of experiencing the same Litchfield as you did?
Some, you know, I wish I had started all this work when Madison was a baby, you know, because I wish she could have grown up seeing the signs and seeing the crosswalk and, you know, having the teen group. And so that makes me sad. I don't know that she'll ever come back. She's at Smith College and, you know, she's loving it. And I don't think she felt that way growing up. My other two are, you know, and I think enjoying it. So
you do something else that I'm always impressed with, History Chicks. You want to talk about that?
Sure. So, that was a COVID baby. my friend Annie and I had read, Martha Hall Kelly's books. And I don't know if you're familiar with them, but she had written about the Bella Mae Faraday house in Bethlehem. Well, not the house, but Caroline Faraday. And during World War II. And so we went to visit that house. It was the first time we had really done anything in COVID. I think it was in July or August of 2020. And it was an outdoor tour. And when we said we were from Litchfield, the tour guides kept saying, like, talking about all the stuff from Litchfield, assuming we knew, and we didn't know any of it. And they, you know, of course, Hamilton had also just come out on Disney Plus. And so then when, you know, she said, well, Aaron Burr, you know, was tapping Reeves' brother-in-law, we were like, what? So, you know, we went back to Litchfield and we were like, we have got to do some learning about this. So we went to the historical, well, we couldn't go to the Historical Society because it was closed, but we printed out their walking tour. Mm-hmm. So we were just so fascinated. But one thing we noticed was it was all white men on the walking tour. And, you know, I said to my friend Annie, maybe it's just because nobody else had any opportunities. Like maybe nobody could do anything because the opportunities weren't there. And my friend Annie's like, no, I don't think that's true. I think there are stories. They're just not, they're harder to find. So right. I'm like, okay, well, let's try to do some digging. So we just found so many cool stories. And my sister, we convinced her to join. She thought she hated history. And I'm like, no, we can get her because she loves people. She loves stories. Like she loves gossip, you know?
Like, it's half of being a historian.
So, and she has recently said, like, thank you so much for dragging me into this. I never knew I liked history, you know? So we like to say we tell the stories that the history books left out. And there's just some, you know, it's we try to do a lot in Litchfield, but we found some cool ones, you know, that aren't part of Litchfield. But we'd love to travel to the country one day and do it.
Do you have a favorite story?
Oh, so I love one that you will love. And now I'm so embarrassed to say I can't draw her name from my head right now. But there was a woman that was enslaved in Litchfield, and the man who enslaved her died, and in his will set her free. And she lived in Litchfield. And another thing we learned is there was a pretty sizable Black community in Litchfield hundreds of years ago. And some were free and some were enslaved, but she ended up, Sylvia was her first name. And she was married a couple of times, so I can't think of her last name, but she ended up leaving Litchfield's first known library in her will. Wow. To the town hall for people who couldn't afford to buy books. She left her collection of books as a lending library to town hall.
That's awesome.
That's cool, awesome.
Oh, yes. It's amazing.
So there are some cool stories.
And I think that's the thing is that when you start uncovering these gems, that's what makes history accessible to people. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever read Alex, you can correct me on the title because you know the midwife's tale.
Oh yeah,
midwife's tale.
Right? Yeah, midwife's tale.
It's by
Chris. Isn't it Chris something? No.
No, it's it's like a historical analysis of this woman's journal.
It's on the tip of my tongue. It'll come to me, and then I'll yell it out. So don't worry. I promise
it's,
you.
It's fabulous. Laurel Thatcher Ulrich is the author and historian. And she analyzed this woman's day book, which was, you know, in attics in the main historical society, and everyone thought it was a waste of time. And Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, through the power of historical imagination, translated her annotations and revealed this rich and beautiful history of this small town in Maine. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I have to put it on my list.
Yeah, I would recommend it. And that sort of thing to me is what makes history interesting. It's not, I don't care about George Washington.
Yeah. And we actually on President's Day, and one of the history chicks was a little nervous about this. You know, we wrote about the people he enslaved because came to Litchfield and slept on North Street. And we were like, well, he must have brought people with him, you know, like there must have been some enslaved people sleeping in this house. So we found out, who probably would have been with them and told the story that didn't shine a really super light on George Washington. And people appreciated it, appreciated hearing the whole story and not just the shiny parts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so important. I'm sorry, Alex, were you about to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying that. Yeah. I know about the George Washington thing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone just wants to talk about him meeting generals under trees. So is there what is, I don't know. Let's talk about Litchfield a little bit. I mean, we've sort of touched on it, its history. Tell me about the community. What is the community like to you? In general. Broad strokes.
Yeah. Again, this is coming from my perspective, I am a very acceptable person in Litchfield community's eyes. So I have found it to be very, very welcoming. There's always a mom I can call if my kids are, in a jam and need a ride someplace, or, when I had my kids, there were, weeks of worth of meals brought to our house, and same, there's, always meal chains or chain meal. What are they called?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
going around just to help people out. And, so it's just a beautiful community, there's something cool about being generations in one town, just to know that my dad graduated from the same high school that I graduated from, that my kids will graduate from. It's just cool to think about that we all walked in the same hallways. And, when you're walking in front of the post office or in the downtown or uptown, as we call it, Main Street, you know that your grandparents did the same, and they're not here anymore. So it's neat to, like I said, we live two doors down from where my dad grew up. So we spent a lot of time there when we were kids. So it's neat to drive by it every day.
What do you think that the greatest threat to Litchfield is?
I think the greatest threat is probably people who are afraid of change. And, people who just want, we've had people say, we love the history chicks because we love history too. And we don't think things should change. And I'm thinking that is not our point.
Right over.
So, I think people are scared. They get scared of change, and they remember the past with, rose tinted glasses, and there are a lot of people who feel that way. And I think sometimes in small towns, that's the drawback, is that people are very resistant to change. I think everybody, in the last couple of years has really felt everywhere, certainly in the United States, that just, divisiveness and the polar, things are just so polar right now. I also feel a strong community of people who are wanting to see that change and wanting us to evolve. And, that in our stories, we're trying to show how things did evolve. It's all relative. It may not seem like a big deal to us now, things that have happened, but back then it was huge. And, that's how we're going to get better, is to change and grow.
So speaking of change, 2020 brought a lot of change to Northwest Hills, because we had a large influx of people, of new people, and who were more than welcome to come in and do their thing. But how is Litchfield coping with some of those changes in your eyes? I mean, it doesn't have to be an educated guess. It's just your impressions.
You know, it's always the same. You know, on Facebook, it looks very dismal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't go on Facebook.
I don't have one, very, so I'm good.
And, you know, I've had to leave a lot of groups in the last 2 years, and my mental health thanks me for it. But in my own personal experience, you know, even growing up, you know, I'm like, oh, the New Yorkers are here, or the Leaf Peepers are here. I just wish they'd leave. You know, you kind of have that feeling towards kind of outsiders. But the actual people that I have met from New York are all lovely and are all beautiful, you know, additions to our town. You know, our kids have gotten all these cool new kids and, you know, in Litchfield public schools, and they're just such an asset to, you know, our little old, our little old Litchfield. It's just cool to get some different types of people. So,
well, I mean, look at the sort of revitalization of Bantam in a lot of ways. Like, I mean, that wouldn't have started if it wasn't for Arethusa. I mean, love them, hate them, whatever. It's just it's a cool place to be now.
It is. Like, I always, when they, before COVID, before we did start having a lot of people from outside coming in, I'd always say, I love going to Arethusa, because you look around and there are all different types of people. And this is the only place in the area that you see that. But every time we went, I'm like, this is so cool. There's so much diversity in this line.
That's how you expose your kids to diversity, is you just bring them to
Arethusa.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, how did it actually, that brings up an interesting question. Like, so as someone who's conscious of trying to take these like appropriate steps to make, you know, create better little people, mm-hmm. How did you expose your kids to more and, you know, bigger things outside of, I don't want to say Little Litchfield, because I don't want to like talk down to Litchfield, because I love Litchfield, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I know what you say. And sometimes I excuse people because I think, well, they're from Litchfield. They don't, you know, they haven't left. But I'm like, wait a second. I haven't left either. That's not an excuse. So we tried to go, you know, into New York City and Boston and just places where there was, you know, different types of people as much as possible. We certainly could have done more. And, you know, we tried to have lots of books with diverse characters and, you know, tried to always have open conversations and, you know, I mean, kids feel the energy and the thoughts more than the actual words a lot. So, yeah. You know, I'm sure we could have done better, but we, you know, just traveled as much as we could, and not necessarily, you know, we never took them out of the country or very far, but, you know, to cities within driving distance to just kind of expose them, you know, to to more people than they just see on West Street in Litchfield.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sort of all relative. Thinking about, like, I was thinking about Weekenders and New Yorkers, and, you know, I had the same experience growing up. It was like, oh, you know, Leaf Peepers, New Yorkers, whatever. But, you know, then you think about the people who actually live in like high touristy areas, like Lake George or something. And we are really so fortunate if like you're going to put it within that context. Like there's really not, I don't know. Not that it's fortunate, but yeah.
Yeah, I get you. I when I drive anywhere you know, you think the traffic is terrible in Litchfield on the weekends, and then you know, you go somewhere where it actually is bad, and you're like, okay.
Alex, do you have anything you want to add?
I love the conversation. This is amazing. It's so great. I just was wondering, how Litchfield has grown, you know, since you were younger growing up, to now, like, you know, with the dynamics of like the Bantam, and Litchfield together, like the differences between the communities, you know, from when you were growing up to now, if there's any, differences that you noticed, if there's, you know, any sort of, you know, raging differences, I guess, in your mind.
Yeah. Alex lived in Bantam, so.
Yeah, I lived in Bantam, but
particularly
I know a little
interested
bit.
In this.
Yes, I'm extremely interested. I mean, and like, and you know, Northfield too, with the, you know, dichotomy between Northfield, Bantam, and Litchfield.
Yeah. I definitely Bantam with Arethusa coming in mm-hmm. was really, it's very different now. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, getting trendy, and it was never trendy, you know, when I was growing up. And I don't know, it seems like I was I grew up in Litchfield. I still live in Litchfield. I never lived in Bantam or Northfield. So I don't know. It never seemed like a big deal to me. It never seemed like there was a big difference between the three. And maybe if I had lived in one of the other two, I would have felt that more. But I don't know. I have never felt a big difference between three little towns or whatever they're called.
Yeah. To be fair, I never did either. Yeah, I was just at, because like I know there is a little contentiousness for some people.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
But obviously all the new fancy places in Bantam definitely have changed kind of the feel of Bantam. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think about New Milford and how, I mean, New Milford is so big, landmass wise, and, we're very much a town of villages. And I think Litchfield sort of shares that in some ways. Mm-hmm. And how that affects the town and how we communicate with each other and how those villages interact, because they're all very different. And a lot of times, unfortunately, those differences fall on like socioeconomic lines, mm-hmm. Which is kind of unfortunate. It is unfortunate. I don't know. Do you, Buff, you sort of already answered the question, but you didn't feel like there was that much of a difference from your perception.
But I guess so. Again, I was a kid and I lived in Litchfield, so I didn't really spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. You know, Northfield and Bantam definitely, you know, were the home price was lower than it would be in Litchfield.
Right.
So, the socioeconomic was there and was, you know, there were those differences for sure.
Yeah.
And now I think that's changing a little. And even in Northfield, you know, Northfield's kind of got this this beautiful land allure, you know, that a lot of people are building these beautiful homes on.
And its own library.
Yeah. So that is changing.
I love Northfield. I think it's super cute. We've actually looked at houses up there. So
it is beautiful. Yeah. Northfield is amazing. It's so beautiful and quaint. It's just a small little.
Yeah.
So Sarah, did you ever leave Litchfield or?
Not really. I mean,
okay.
I went to college. I went to University of Notre Dame. So I was in Indiana. So that was, I kind of went far, but I never actually, live there apart from being a student. You know, I'd still come. I always felt very homesick from Litchfield. So I came home every chance I got. You know, I was always home for holidays and summers. And I think that was part of it too. And I don't know if it was because Notre Dame probably wasn't the best fit for me or if I really just love Litchfield, but it felt like I really love Litchfield and that Notre Dame wasn't the greatest fit for me. But that was probably part of the reason why I came back, because I always kind of had a homesickness for it.
And your husband's family owned a business in Litchfield, right?
My family did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So my family owned the Anheuser-Busch distributorship for Litchfield County.
Okay.
So it actually started during Prohibition. And so my great grandfather and his brother started it during Prohibition. So they were a meat distributor. And then they were honest. And when Prohibition ended, then they picked up the beer, and then that just took off. So they were like, forget the meat, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
They dropped the meat. And then, so that was part of the reason too. When I graduated college, I came home to work for the family business. And then I had also met my husband. So, and he lived in Litchfield. So that was also a big draw.
I mean, that kind of helps.
And yeah, so then when I worked there until 2013, and we got kind of eaten up by Hartford Distributors, who is a distributor for Hartford. And, you know, they had a bunch of towns, and the little guys were kind of getting swallowed up. So we sold to them. And so they now distribute to Litchfield County.
Okay. I think that's fascinating. I was hoping there was going to be a bootlegger in the story, but
okay. Maybe there was. As I understand it, it was not. And we picked up but you never know.
So I think this is excellent. And Sarah, I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate all you're doing for Litchfield County and everything, all of your stuff, all the stuffs.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it Alex really doesn't feel like I've done very much, you know. I was very surprised when you emailed me, because you know, it's just nothing that I've done has been hard, which is shocking to me. Like doing all this stuff for Litchfield Pride, I'm like, this is so easy. Like nothing that I've done has been hard. And you know, like, why did it take me so long to do this? But I'm glad I have done it. I wish I had started earlier, but nothing I can do about that.
I think probably it's, and this isn't flattery, but I think it's probably your attitude, Sarah, because the fact that you meet opposition by just doing something, like you said, I think is a testimony to, something special. So, yeah. And plus you gave my wife a ride home today, so that helps too.
I got some good quality Jenny time.
Alex, do you have anything that you want to add?
No, I just think it's great. You know, you moved the needle tenfold for inclusivity in Litchfield, and I applaud you for it. And I'm so thankful that, you know, someone else has done and moved the needle even more forward in Litchfield, because it was drastically needed, especially the past several years. So, you know, thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It makes it definitely, we have a long way to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Makes it a nicer place to live.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to stop recording.